We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Chosh Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Shluchin, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Mem Aleph. We're closing in on the completion of this halacha. Rav Nosson Zal is going to add a finishing touch in this paragraph, and then he's going to give us Roshei Prokim. He's going to review a little bit some of the things we discussed previously and add a little bit to it also. Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh she'omar Moshe livnei God u'bnei Ruvein." Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people of Shevet God and Ruvein and half of Menashe when they expressed their desire to remain outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu seemingly misunderstood. He thought that they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael at all, that they're not going to join Bnei Yisrael in the battle to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu reprimanded them very severely for that. So we find Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "V'lomo seniyun, why should you block the Jewish people from getting to Eretz Yisrael? Why should you be an obstacle? Why should you weaken their hearts, their determination to come to Eretz Yisrael?" So the word seniyun, Rashi HaKodesh says there, means miloshen menia, to withhold, to block, and also to remove from their hearts. But Rav Nosson Zal says, we know that the word seniyun is also loshon oino. It also comes from the root word oino, which means to swindle, to trick. Ukamoshe tirgem unkelus, as we find the unkelus translation there in the pasuk says, velama soinun, which is again, why should you fool the Jews? Miloshon oino. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki ever hayardein bebechinas noiga, because the place where these people wanted to remain right outside of Eretz Yisrael, on the border of Eretz Yisrael, that place is klipas noiga. It's the gray area, ki Eretz Yisrael bechinas klolius hakdusha, because Eretz Yisrael represents everything that is holy. V'chutz loretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, behepech, is the opposite of that. It's unholy. It's lacking holiness. That's why it's called chutz, outside, in the street. Ve'evra yardein hu bebechinas memutza b'neim. And the area called Evra yardein, Transjordan, is in between. It's right in between the two. Bebechinas noiga. Just like the klipa of noiga, shemo oirov toivora, which is a combination of good and bad. Shemishom kol ha'oinois vatuyois. And as we said earlier, that it's within noiga, that's where there's the greatest potential for mistakes and swindlery and tricks and everything in noiga. Because when something's black and white, it's clear. We know exactly what the price is. We know exactly what it's supposed to cost. It's in that gray area there. There's a lot of room to play. And this fits beautifully with what we mentioned earlier. This is a very important rule that we've tried to mention throughout. That the world, the physical world that we live in, is made up of three parameters. Space, time, and then creation, the different levels of creation. Levels of creation are inanimate objects, plants, animals, humans. The space is the mokoim of the world. Time is time. The holiest time is Shabbos. Shabbos is called Tchilo Lemikroi Kodesh, the first of all the number one of all the holidays. All the other holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all receive from Shabbos. Shabbos is the source of all holiness and time. Tchilo lemikroi kodesh. First, number one. Place in the world, the holiest place in the world, is Eretz Yisrael. The holiest person in the world is the holiest, the top level of creation between Doimeim Tzoimei Achai Medaber is man, the Jew, the Tzaddik. the tzaddik is on top of the totem pole in terms of levels of creation. The time is Shabbos, the place is Eretz Yisrael. We find when the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, one of the things that it says very often is the land that flows with milk and honey. Zovas Cholov Udvosh. The Bir Likutim writes that the last letters of Zovas Cholov Udvosh spell the word Shabbos, showing the connection. What Shabbos is in time, Eretz Yisrael is in place. So if we find that the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal call their rabbi Shabbos, they say to Rabbi Shimon, Antu Shabbos de Kula Yoimi, you're the Shabbos and we're the 6 days of the week. You're the Mashpia, you're the one who's giving, the source of bracha, and we're the ones who receive, we're the 6 days of the week who receive from you. That's the tzaddik, that's Shabbos, that's Eretz Yisrael. All are all together. V'alkein, Omar Lohem, so therefore, just like by human beings, we've mentioned in the past, there's non-Jews, which are kulay ra, in a sense, that's the three klipos. There's the Jews, which are holy, am kodosh atol Hashem alekecha. There's the noiga, which is the gerim. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, ki av hamoin goyim nesaticha. I've appointed you to be a father of a multitude of nations. The first letters of hamoin goyim nesaticha spell noiga. Avram Avinu is not the father of the Swahilis and the Bahilis. He's the father of those from Klipas Noiga, those who can be brought into the Kedusha, those who are in that gray area and can be swung into the Kedusha properly by the true tzaddik who can recognize who's Noiga and who's not and who has the ability to make that. And in Eretz Yisrael, we have Eretz Yisrael, we have the other lands, and we have the Noiga in the middle, which is Eivor HaYarden. In time, we have Shabbos, the 6 days of the week, and we have Tosfos Shabbos, that period of time before Shabbos, from Plag HaMincha on, and after Shabbos, as much as we're able to add to extend the Shabbos longer. That's this Noiga. V'alkein Omar Lehem Moshe, and this is why Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, V'lomo Sinion Eslev B'nei Yisrael, Shetatu V'soinu es b'nei Yisrael chasvshon. Why are you fooling the Jew? Why are you getting the Jews to make a mistake? You're pushing them to make a mistake. Me'avoyer el horetz, from agreeing to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ki kol hatu'usim nimshochim mebechinas noiga kanal. Because as we explained earlier, all mistakes generally come from that noiga, that gray area where there's room for error. Al kein heishivuloi, and therefore these shvotim, God and Menashe and Reuven, responded to Moshe Rabbeinu, sheyavru chalutzim lichboish Eretz Yisrael. We're going to go in the front lines to help the Jews conquer Eretz Yisrael. Hainu, what were they implying? Sheyimseru nafsham b'shvil kedushas Eretz Yisrael. We are prepared to put our lives on the line to be the commandos, to go up front, mamish in the front lines, mesiras nefesh, for the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Vayidei kedushas Eretz Yisrael bevada yiyu nitzoylem mitu'uyo isvoyno isanal. And through the holiness, by showing this deep love and respect for Eretz Yisrael, we surely will be protected from any of these oino, any mistakes, any of these kinds of mistakes. Ki kedushas Eretz Yisrael u kedushas hatzadik oemes heim bebechina achas. Because the holiness of Eretz Yisrael and the holiness of the true tzaddik are one. In Likutei Moran, Rabbein Zal quotes the pasuk, tzaddikim yirshu eretz. The tzaddikim inherit the land. The place where the tzaddik is kodosh b'kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's why when Breslov HaSidim leave Eretz Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah to go to Uman, and one of the questions that many of the people that love Eretz Yisrael, especially people who are Zionistic, say, how could you do this? How could you go against one of the most basic tenets of Judaism, that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKodesh? How could you leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz? And the answer that's given by many Breslov Hasidim is, I'm not leaving Eretz Yisrael. I'm going from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. The place of the tzaddik, tzaddikim yirshu eretz. the place of the tzaddik and the tzaddik himself are bechinas Eretz Yisrael. They are like whatever properties of holiness, what Eretz Yisrael has in place, the tzaddik is in level of creation. As Rabbeinu Zal writes in another place, which we just quoted, Ve'oz nisratze Moshe Elohim. And when Moshe Rabbeinu heard their commitment, their loyalty, their willingness to show Mesiras Nefesh to help the Jews conquer Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu accepted them, Ve'hisne imohim t'nai zeh. And he agreed and affirmed this condition, She'im yavru chalutzim l'Eretz Yisrael, if you will go in the front lines to help the Jews conquer Eretz Yisrael, Yiten lahem Evra Yarden, then we'll give you this piece of land called Evra Yarden. Ki oz ein pachad. Because if you'll show such mesiras nefesh for Eretz Yisrael, then we don't have to worry that the klipas noiga will be able to hurt you in any way. Ki al yidei mesiras nafsham lichboish Eretz Yisrael, because by showing such serious loyalty to conquer Eretz Yisrael, that will assure that the Klipas Noiga, the Evra Yarden, will actually become part of Eretz Yisrael. It'll be Nichlal, it'll be plugged into Eretz Yisrael. Ki hatzadik b'chinas Eretz Yisrael, machriya hakoil letoiv, kishezoichin limsar nafshoy liskorev oilov. Because the tzaddik has the ability to take all of the noiga, all of the gray areas, all of the mistakes that the person might have made in the past, the sins he might have done in the past. The tzaddik has the ability to be machriya, all of that to the side of good, if the person shows mesiras nefesh to come close to the tzaddik. We explained in the previous year different levels of commitment, different levels of willingness to come close to the tzaddik. Partial, total, or chas v'shalom going against the tzaddik. Here Rav Nosson Zal makes it clear that if the person is moiser nefesh to come close to the tzaddik, then the tzaddik definitely has the ability to do the v'ish chocham yichaprena, to wipe out the mistakes, the oinois, the way that the Yetzirah was able to fool and trick the person before, earlier, prior to that, to commit all kinds of sins and mistakes. Ashrei loy, ashrei to the person who has this mesiras nefesh, ashrei to the tzaddik, who is on such a level that he's able to accomplish this. This pretty much concludes the halacha. Now Rav Nosson Zal gives us roshei prakim, some short notes that he had written for himself regarding the halacha, and then he adds on a little bit of appendixes, some things that weren't mentioned in the halacha. Another 3 pages or so. Roshei prakim mehilchas shluchin vehilchas mechira. Number one, Rav Nosson Zal mentioned earlier the kinyan sudar, that one of the most popular ways that a Jew acquires possessions is through a form of kinyan that's called sudar, where a garment is used, a handkerchief, a gartel, a yarmulke, and they both, the buyer and seller, or the people who are the one who's transferring ownership and the one who's receiving ownership, hold on to this piece of garment, this clothing, and through that, whatever they're trying to transfer, the car, the house, whatever it is transferred from one owner to the other. Halavushim, garments, bechinas hadimyonos, are also referred to as medame, dimyonos. When you dress something up, that can change it for the better or for worse, to make it look better or worse than what it really is. So that again, it becomes a dimyon. The person sees something dressed up super nicely. He sees a man walking wearing a 3-piece suit and a satin tie, $300 tie, and $1,200 alligator shoes and everything. And he thinks, wow, this person is somebody special. And then he sees him coming out of a bar dead drunk and cursing, and he sees zero. It's just window dressing. It's really a behemoth in human clothing. Shemislabesh bohem hasechel, Rav Nosson Zal says that the demyonos, the koyach hamedame, is something in which the seichel, the true intellect of a person, is cloaked in this medame, kedei lehasbir amitas haseichel, in order to be able to explain and broadcast the true intellect, bechinas haruach hakodesh shel hanaviim, such as, for example, an example of real true intellect is the ruach hakodesh of the prophets, where they receive direct knowledge and wisdom from Hashem, shehilbishu b'dimyonos, and they dressed this nevuah, they cloaked this nevuah in dimyonos, in fantasies. A person has a dream, for example, a person has a dream and they see something in a dream, and they come to a true tzaddik, and the tzaddik says, I'll interpret the dream for you. The Gemara in Brachas, towards the end, page 58, I think it is, the Gemara has a few pages where the Gemara says, if a person sees this in a dream, it represents this. If a person sees that in a dream, it represents that. The Gemara says, if a person sees a pot in a dream, a kedera, a pot, it's a sign of peace. A person will say, what in the world? How in the world could you associate a pot with peace? The Shiloh HaKodesh says, it's so simple. We know that the highest level of peace, the most extreme example of peace, is when Hashem makes peace between fire and water. Oise shalom bimroimov. We say Hashem makes peace on high. Where on high? Shamayim. The Gemara tells us the word shamayim is eish mayim. Hashem takes the most extreme opposites and has them cooperate, work, coordinate together to form shamayim. The Shiloh HaKodesh says, what is a pot? What do you do in a pot? You cook. How do you cook? Cooking requires water. You got water in the pot, you got fire underneath, and that's how you cook. So a kedera is the symbol of shalom. If Hashem shows a person a pot in a dream, Hashem is sending the person a message of shalom. So we see here again, that which the person sees in a dream is a levush. It's a garment, it's a dimyon, for something that's underneath this garment. Behind this pot is a message that this represents Eish and Mayim working together. This represents Shalom. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Beyad Hanavim Adame. In the hands of the prophets, Adame. This Lashon of Adame, which means like Medame, that the true the Ruach HaKodesh of the Nevi'im was cloaked in Medame. Al Kain, therefore, Al Yodom Kol Hatikunim. It's through clothing and garments, sudar, that most kinyonim acquisitions are made, Shelo Yeshanoi. Because when a kinyon, once a kinyon is made, the two sides are no longer allowed to change their mind. The deal is closed. Ki Esek Hamasumatan Noigea Bebegodim. Because business, when people transact business, that's related to clothing. The chulu, as Rav Nosson Zal explained earlier, the levushim, the malbush, that in the masumatan is a levush for much deeper things that are taking place. Holy sparks being transferred from one person to the other, being processed on an assembly line, as we explained in previous shiurim, that when people conduct business, this one sells out, this one buys, he holds on to it for a couple of years, then he sells it to somebody else. There are sparks, holy sparks found in there that are being processed, elevated, getting their tikkun, and then being passed down the assembly line to the next person who has to affect his tikkun on that item. Umitoicho, and inside of these garments, ke'en chashmal, is found a very high level light called chashmal, shemishom halavushin, from which these garments emanate from. Rabbeinu Zal in Nikutei Maran quotes the Zohar HaKodesh and the Arizal, who say that the word chashmal is bigematria malbush. Chashmal is that inner light, which actually generates the garment outside of it, the malbush, the cloak. And the Sifrei Kabbalah speak a lot about this. Now Rav Nosson Zal again reviews something that he spoke about earlier, the Gemara in Kiddushin towards the end of the first chapter, where the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol hamalameid ben benoy Torah, ke'ilu kiblo mehar Sinai. A Jew who teaches his grandson Torah, it's as if they're reenacting Matan Torah on Har Sinai. It's as if they're receiving the Torah again on Har Sinai. Shenemar, because there's a pasuk that says, V'hoidatam levonecha ulevnei vonecha, you will pass on the Torah to your children and to your grandchildren. V'samechle, and right next to that it says, Yoyim asher amadeto b'choyrev, the day on which you stood by Har Sinai. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Ashkechel Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the Shodi Risna Resha, the Komamti Leil Yenukala Beknishta. We mentioned this earlier. The Gemara says Rabbi Chiya bar Abba once saw Rabbi Shua ben Levi rushing out of the house. Why was he rushing? He wanted to take his son or his grandson to yeshiva. So he didn't have time to find his regular head covering. He put on a Risna. A Risna is not a standard head covering for a Talmud Chacham. But he just put anything on his head to run because he was so excited about this important mitzvah of taking his son to the yeshiva. The Gemara says, Mikan v'elech, Rabbar bar Huna, loitom umtza ad. From that point on, Rabbar bar Huna would never eat his real breakfast, a piece of roasted meat, until he first studied Torah with his son. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba loitom. Rabbi Chiya wouldn't taste anything ad demikri liyanuka until he reviewed with his son what he had learned the previous day, umoisve, and taught him something new, addition. Rabbi Nosson Zal mentioned this earlier, risna daika. Look at the word that the Gemara uses, the name of the garment that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi put on his head when he was rushing out of the house. It was a risna. Bechinas, this is related to the pasuk in Tehillim in chapter 32, where it says, Bemeseg voresen edyoy livloim, where it speaks about a person who has a horse, and he wants to ride on the horse, and the horse can go in any direction it wants, unless you put a pair of reins on the horse. You put a bridle in his mouth, and you put reins on that, so that you're controlling that horse's head. You're turning his head in the direction you want him to go. And Rav Nosson Zal spoke about this. He spoke about the incredible importance of machshava, that everything begins in thought, and that a person has the ability to control his thoughts, to make his thoughts go in the right direction. When bad thoughts come into his mind, to simply tug on the rein and pull the brain to another direction. Take it off what it's attached to, put it on something else. Think about scrambled eggs, chocolate cake, exercise, whatever you want. But detach your brain from the sinful thought that the Satan tried to push into it. V'ze hoyo bimkoim hasudar shal roishoy. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi put on this risna instead of the sudar, which is the standard head covering that a Talmud Chacham would put on his head. Why did he do this? Lahoyrois, to teach. She'ikr levush hakovoid alidei bechinas resen. That the most important, the most respectable garment, the most respectable shtreimel or hamburg or respectable hat, head covering, is a resen. In other words, a set of reins, putting a set of reins on your head. R-E-I-N-S. Kishe koishrin hamachshava beresen kemoisus. When a person binds, he ties up his brain the way you tie up a horse. Lahatoisei ledarkoi, to guide your brain to the right derech, ledarkoi sheroitze, to the derech that you want to go on. Just like when you steer a horse in the right direction. Shezeo bechinas tikun hamoichin. This is the concept of a person keeping his brain properly. Sheyu mechitzois prusois. That the three parts of his brain should serve as three partitions to keep out any sinful thoughts. Sheze kol tikun shel birur hamedame. This is the whole tikun of refining the medame. Ki bilbul hamedame machma sheniskalkalu mechitzois hamoichin vehizgaber hamedame al haseichel. Because the way that a person has a cloudy medame, the way that a person has a lack of clarity in their thinking, they're not able to differentiate between right and wrong, good and bad. The way that that comes about is when these mechitzas, when these partitions of the brain have become spoiled, damaged, when the person has allowed his brain to dwell on sinful thoughts. He hasn't developed a brain with Torah and tefillah and other mitzvahs to strengthen those partitions, that they should stand like steel partitions, keeping out any of those wrong types of thoughts. And therefore, v'hizgaber hamedama al haseichel, because he didn't keep out the negative thoughts, the negative thoughts have overcome, are dominating his intellect, and not allowing him to think constructively, to think clearly. Just like the example we learned earlier about a horse trying to sit down on the rider, telling the rider, let's switch places. You on bottom, I'm going to sit on you. Let's see how far we can travel together. Let's see how quick we can run together. And the reason why this is compared specifically to horses, because that's where the real Yetzirah comes in. When it comes to the horses, or today, the horses were when people went out to war, to battle, they went on their racing horse, their steeds, their powerful horses. That was their symbol of glory. Today, it's our armored cars and airplanes and tanks and nuclear weapons, and that's our horses, which we're going out to war, we're going out to battle with. Kisusim mizuyonim, like armed horses. V'alkein ro Zecharia Hashem roichev al susim. And this is why the prophet Zecharia Novi, in his vision, he says he saw Hashem riding on horses. Sheho arba malchios klolius tzoras hanefesh. These represent the four different kingdoms of the Sitra Achra. Nebuchadnezzar, the Romans, the Greeks, the Persians. Klolius tzoras hanefesh, who represent all of the opposition to the Jewish soul. The Romas loy, shashem yisborach roichev aleim v'yachniyim. And in his dream, it was being hinted to Zecharia Novi that Hashem will be on top of these horses and conquer all of them and subdue all of them. Ulechaber loze al metzilois hasus kodesh l'Hashem, and to attach this to the holy horse for Hashem kavyocho, halavushim nasu period, etc. Now Rav Nosson Zal makes another point. Halavushim nasu achar chet odom orishoin. Before Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, there was no need for clothing. There were no garments. Adam and Chava received light from Hashem, oir with an aleph. After the sin, the Torah tells us that the oir with an aleph was replaced with kosnos oir, garments of leather, oir with an ayin, that instead of that original infinite light that they were able to connect with, they were lowered. They could no longer connect with that high-level light, that seichel. Instead, they fell into levushim. And then it says they covered themselves. They took leaves from a date tree and covered themselves at first, and then they made these garments of leather. Rav Nosson Zal says those garments were required after the chait to protect from this taiva, this sinful desire for a sinful connection between men and women. Avol yesh bohem achizosam lefomim. However, because these garments are like a separation between man and the taiva and this sinful type of desire, therefore there are times when the klipa, the tumah, the sitra achra, attaches itself to the clothing, to the garments. Bechinas, as the Gemara says in Brochas, Hani mone derabonan debolu, when you see a Talmud Chacham wearing a garment, And you see that it's starting to become frail on bottom. It's starting to tear, it's starting to get worn out. It's getting worn out. The Gemara says, Minayhu. You should know sometimes that's not wear and tear. That's the klipos, the tuma, the sitrachra, trying to grab on to his clothing from the corners specifically. That's where they try to grab on the corners. That's why you'll see sometimes the corners of the garment worn out like that. We know that another form of this is the issue of tznius. When we talk about women wearing kosher garments, garments that don't attract attention in any way, garments that cover, not garments that conceal, not garments that on the contrary, they show, they display what shouldn't be displayed. This is all part of this, the levush, which we see here is like an intermediary in a sense between the taiva and the person. Vehem oyervim lehisachis bohem daika chas v'sholem bekama b'chinois. And the klipos, the sitrach or the tumah, they lie in ambush. They try all kinds of different ways to grab onto the clothing, to try to grab hold of the clothing, so that the clothing should not serve as a barrier blocking them from being able to do their thing, what they want to do. Vezeh b'chinas, this is also what we find in the Torah by Yosef HaTzadik. The tzaddik, the one who showed outstanding perfection in this area of tikkun abris, purity. What does the Torah say about him? That when he was given his test, his ultimate test with the wife of Potiphar, it says, Vatispesehu bebigdoi. She grabbed his garment. She tried to control him and to stop him by grabbing his garment. What did he do? Vayazoiv bigdoi. He left his garment in her hands and he left without it. When the Sitra Achra grabs hold of the garment, Yosef HaTzadik said, "Don't eat, have a nice day, I'm out of here. Keep it, keep the garment. I am not going to sin." Kilavush kozeh ein tzrichin, because a garment which the Sitra Achra has attached itself to, that kind of garment a person doesn't need. Utzrichin levroyach mimenu. We have to run away from those kind of garments. This is what I mentioned before. Again, clothing for men and or for women. Clothing that serves the purpose of the Sitra Achra. Clothing that arouses desire. Clothing that entices chas v'shom, that attracts attention. V'chein hamenios, and so too all of the obstacles that people experience blocking them from getting close to the tzaddik, blocking them from getting close to Eretz Yisrael, to Kiddusha. Those manias are usually from clothing, from garments. Ki ikar manias hamoyach, haynu chisoran emuna, shebo mi bilbul hamedame, shupegam emuna. Because the main obstacle is the obstacles in a person's mind, the doubts that a person has, where a person isn't sure, is there really Hashem or not? Is there really such a thing as a tzaddik or not? Haynu chisor en emuna. This is a deficiency in faith. Shebo mi bilbul hamedame, which is the result of the confusion of medame, shehu pegam ho emuna, which Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in chapter 8 in the second half of Likut Imran, which this halacha is based on, that's the whole concept of pegam emuna. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds, the Torah tells us that as part of the preparation for receiving the Torah on Har Sinai, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'chibzu simloisam," they should wash their clothing, koyde matan Torah, "V'hitaru," and they should purify themselves. In another place, it says, "V'hitaru," you will purify yourselves, "V'hachlifu simloisechem," and change your clothing. Big Day Kahuna, Rav Nosson Zal is giving us examples throughout the Torah where we see that clothing plays a very important role in defining holiness versus unholiness. Big Day Kahuna, the special garments which the Kohanim had to wear to do their service in the Beis HaMikdash. Big Day Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol had unique garments just for him, different from all the other Kohanim. Bifrat, and especially, HaChalifois Begodim B'yom HaKippurim, the five times in one day that the Kohen Gadol had to change clothing. From regular clothes to Big Day Kohuna, from Big Day Kohuna to Big Day Kohen Gadol, Big Day Kohen Gadol, back to regular Big Day Kohuna, back to, and each time toveling in the mikvah or washing his hands in between. All examples showing how important a role the clothing have in Yiddishkeit. The clothing, which is the noiga, which is the medame, which is that border, which can go either way. Tzitzis, we have the example of the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is, we start the day with tzitzis, putting on the first active mitzvah of the day, putting on tzitzis. And then by Rus, when Rus met Boaz, it says, uforasto kenofecho, you will spread your konof. Konof means your wings, and konof means the corner of your garment. And the pasuk says, v'hirziku, that when Mashiach comes, v'hirziku asora anoshim biknaf ish Yehudi. 10 people will grab hold of the corner of the garment of a Jew to try to hold on. And they'll say, Neilcho imochem, let us go with you. We want to go with you. Ki shamanu elikim imochem, because we've heard that Hashem is with you. Hashem is with the Jewish people. Ki hatzadik bechinas goimel nafshoi ish chosid. Rav Nosson Zal says that there's a pasuk that defines the tzaddik. The tzaddik is one who is goimel nafshoi. He shows goodwill. He does good things for his soul, and he is ish chosid, a righteous person. Bechinas toiras chesed lelamed lacherim. This refers to the tzaddik's generosity, that he enjoys sharing his Torah with others. That's this chosid, miloshim chesed, toras chesed. Shemamshich b'choleis. This is the Torah that the tzaddik is drawing all the time from Hashem and broadcasting it to Klal Yisrael. Sheze ikur tikuneinu. This is our main tikun. Shayideze nimshach hachut shel chesed. This is how we draw upon ourselves that strand of kindness from Hashem. Bechinas oilam chesed yibone. And this is what will bring us to the future, to the coming of Moshiach, when it says that the world will be built with chesed. Now, Rav Nosson Zal quotes a Gemara which says, Achim behespedoi, that a Jew should make sure to give a proper eulogy to a Talmud Chacham, to a person who deserves it. Dehosam koimna, the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says in a different place, Rebbe osi lebeisei achar misosoi. Rebbe Yehuda Hanosi would visit his home on Friday night after he died, and he would make Kiddush. He would make Kiddush for his wife and children after he passed away. These are examples of showing us how the tzaddik lives, continues to live after his passing. Bnei Yisrael nosu mebe'eros bnei Yakon moisera. The Torah tells us, Rav Nosson Zal discussed this earlier, if you recall, that the Jews traveled from a place called Be'eros bnei Yakon to a place called Moisera, Shom Mei Saharoin. And it's there, in Moisera, that Aaron HaKohen passed away. The Gemara says, that's not true. V'haloi b'hoyer ha'hor meis. We know that Aaron HaKohen passed away in Hoyer ha'hor, a different location. The Gemara answers, Elo Shom Chozru v'hispiduhu. When the Jews got to Moisera, that's when they had a whole new reawakening, a realization of how special Aaron HaKohen was, and they made a whole new hesped, a whole new eulogy for Aaron HaKohen. That's why it's considered as if he died there. Because of the fact that the Jews stumbled and made mistakes as they were traveling through the desert, whereby the Torah tells us that when Aaron HaKohen passed away, the Jews got very scared, and they started heading back, going back towards Egypt. Vigam hiraru al Moshe ve'Elazar. And we learned earlier that the Jews started doubting Moshe Rabbeinu and Elazar Kohen. They said, you killed him. We're going to kill you. Until Hashem had to show them a video presentation in Shamayim showing Aaron HaKohen passing away on a bed by himself, the Shechina itself taking his soul. That's what calmed them into not accusing Moshe Rabbeinu and Elazar that they're the ones, chas v'shalom, who murdered Aaron HaKohen. This was all pigam, hiroru. This was a hiror against the tzaddik. Va'amru, the people said then, efsher odom she'otzar hamageifa, va'omad neged amalech hamoves. Is it possible that a person who was able to hold back a plague, when the Malach Moves came and tried to make a plague against Klal Yisrael, Aaron HaKohen was able to slam the brakes on him and stop him. And he stood up to the Malach Moves. Is it possible for him to die? Ad Shehero Isolehem Muto B'mitosli. Until Moshe Rabbeinu showed the Jews a vision of Aaron HaKohen lying in his deathbed, Kavyohon. She'adayin hu chai v'kayon. And the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was delivering was that Aaron HaKohen is not dead the way other people are. He's alive and well. Ach afal pikein. However, even though from his perspective, he's alive. Mitzidchem. From your perspective, as far as you're concerned, we have lost him to a degree. We have lost a certain level of connection to him. V'atem tzrichim lechapes achrov koroi. And therefore you, Bnei Israel, have to start searching for Aaron HaKohen the right way. Not by yelling at Moshe Rabbeinu, not by saying you're going to kill Elazar, but the opposite, by appointing Elazar in his place, and Elazar will be a continuation of Aaron HaKohen. That'll be the continuity. Aaron HaKohen will live through his sons, through his students. V'heim pogmu bozeh, whereas the Jewish people did not at first fulfill this. V'oz, and the Torah says, what happened? Vayishma haknani. The Knanim heard what was going on. They saw that the Jews did not have the right kind of emunas tzadikim. And who is the Knani? Ze Amalek. Rashi and the Gemara say this was Amalek who dressed up like Knani. They made themselves look like Knanim, said the Jews should pray, Hashem save us from the Knanim, and their prayer won't be answered because these weren't Knanim. But the Gemara says the Jews weren't so silly. The Jews knew that there's medameh, that there's costumes, you could dress up like anything you want. The Jews said, Hashem save us from our enemies, whoever they are. And sure enough, they succeeded in defeating them. Ze Amalek, she'oirev al ze lahachnis kfiras now. This was the nation of Amalek who was always trying to inject kfira, atheism, denial of Hashem and tzaddikim into the Jewish people. Kihu ikr zuamas hanochosh, because Amalek is the real essence of the tumah, the poison of the snake, the original snake. Vioz chazru vispidu, and then the Jews went ahead and eulogized Aaron HaKohen again. They made a new hesped for Aaron HaKohen. Veshom nidmelahem shemes. And there it seemed to them as if he had died. Because they were eulogizing him again, they were being reminded of the fact that Aaron HaKohen is no longer with us physically. And this served as a tikkun by eulogizing him, which means being mechabed him, by paying respect to the tzaddik. That was a tikkun for the disrespect that they showed before in not reacting properly to his death. That's the story with Aaron HaKohen. Now, Rav Nosson Zal earlier also discussed Elisha Hanavi. Ve'Elisha cholo escholio yasher yomus boy. The Torah says that Elisha Hanavi finally got sick, the sickness from which he died. Vam Rabbi Seinu Zal, the Gemara says about this, shloisha choloim cholo Elisha, that Elisha actually got sick three times. Echod, one time, shedocho es gechazi, because of the fact that he pushed away his student Elisha with both hands. The Gemara says that the proper attitude of a rabbi with students is with the left hand to push away, not to let a student get too close, too chummy, buddy, where the student forgets that he's supposed to speak to the rabbi and act towards the rabbi with respect, with yira sakovoy. So with the left hand to push away, with the right hand, the stronger hand, to bring close. And by Elisha Hanavi, it's brought that when it came to Gehazi, who was a super duper Russia, the Gemara says terrible things he did, and still Elisha Hanavi, who was so great at tzaddik, he was the tzaddik emes, The tzaddik emes cannot push away even the worst rasha with both hands. That was considered a pigam on his level, for which he became ill. He got sick. The echod, the second sickness was shegeiro hadubim betinoikos, where again there were these 42 youths who showed incredible chutzpah to Elisha Navi and to the Jewish people in general. They took advantage of a situation where there was a city that didn't have water at the time, so they would import water and charge super high prices because the people had no choice. They were the only game in town. Other people didn't have the ability, the horse and everything, to go bring the water from the other place. So they took major advantage. And when Elisha Navi visited that city, the people complained to him, look at this, we're being taken advantage of like this. Elisha Navi said, no problem. Hashem, please give them water. Elisha Navi was mispalel, and they got water. Water started, rain flow. These 42 youths heard what happened, that Elisha Navi put them out of business. They started cursing him and making fun of him, called him ugly names. So the Navi says, Elisha Navi turned around. He took a look at them. And he looked and he saw that there was no good that was going to be coming out of these 42 youths. So he gave them the look. And the Gemara says, suddenly a forest sprang up over there. There was no forest. Suddenly a forest rose up where they were, and bears, wild bears, came out of the forest and killed these 42 youths on the spot. A miracle within a miracle. And the Gemara says that Elisha Navi was punished for this. You're a tzaddik. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Gam enoish la tzaddik loy toiv, that it is not good for a tzaddik to punish. Hashem says, we got an angel. It's doing a wonderful job. The Malach HaMoves and all of his assistants, they don't need no help. Tzaddikim, the job of tzaddikim is to cure, to heal, to repair. And even in such extreme cases sometimes, we see that it's considered chas v'shalom a pigam on the part of the tzaddik that he didn't cure, he didn't heal. Sheloi hoyred es atzmoy kol kach, that Elisha Navi did not lower himself all the way down, lekarev gamas Gehazi, to be makarev even a Russia like Gehazi, ulahachsir b'tshuva hanorimanal, and to bring those youths back in tshuva. This is the Breslov position on kids at risk and people that have major, major problems with Hashem, with Yiddishkeit and everything, that the true tzaddik, his mission is to bring them close, to bring them back. Avoloi meis. However, Elisha Navi did not die from those two sicknesses. Kiyim mitzad Gehazi. It was only from Gehazi's perspective, to him, it looked as if Elisha Navi had passed away. Aval hu biatzmoy chai v'kayim. However, Elisha Navi continues to live to such a degree, at she'afilu ho'ish ha'meis shenikbar etzloy nechye, whereby the Navi tells us that they buried Elisha in a certain spot, and then afterwards something happened where they had to bury somebody, somebody else died, and they were about to bury him, and his body started rolling. So they ran after to catch it. The body rolled until it touched the place where Elisha Navi was buried, and the person stood up and came back to life. The person's dead body touched Elisha's dead body. And just coming into contact with the place where Elisha Navi is buried, that brought him back to life. Rav Nosson Zal says, Mikol Shkein, how much more so? And again, this is in the Navi, this is in the Gemara. This is not Chassidus Shemaisis. Mikol Shkein Ha'odom Achai. Rav Nosson Zal says, therefore we conclude that how much more so, if we talk about a living person, Kisheyovoy Al Kivroy, who goes to visit the Kever of a Tzaddik, the Mora Samach Pela, Kever Rochel, Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbeinu Zal, in Uman, the Baal Shem Tov, how much more so that the Tzadik will inject new life into that, that if that person is dead, if that person is spiritually dead, the Tzadik will inject new life into that person. I had the privilege, nothing is coincident. Last night, one of my best friends, a student of Rav Rosenfeld, Bobby Rosenberg, sent me a clip, a short clip, from one of Rav Rosenfeld's shiurim, where Rav Rosenfeld speaks about bringing the dead back to life. And he says, obviously, everyone recognizes that this is one of the greatest miracles that can be performed by a tzaddik, to bring a dead person back to life, like Eliyahu HaNavi did, like Elisha HaNavi did. The Gemara tells us a story of two rabbis who got together for Purim, and one drank a little too much, and he shechted his friend, he killed him, and when he realized what he did, he prayed and he brought him back to life. So Rav Rosenfeld mentions that there were people who asked, what about Rabbi Nachman? How come we don't find stories? There are different stories written about Rabbi Nachman. How come we don't find stories about him bringing a dead person back to life? And the answer that Rabbi Nelson Zal gives and the other students is that bringing a physically dead person back to physical life is small stuff compared to bringing a person who is spiritually dead, a person who has disconnected themselves from Torah, from Hashem, has lost their faith in Hashem and faith in Tzaddikim, and restoring that person's faith in Hashem, faith in Tzaddikim, that's a much bigger miracle of Tchiyas HaNesim. Rav Nelson Zal says, Vezehu, and this is what the Pasuk says in Hazinu, I believe, Ani Omis Va'achaye, I will kill and give life. You would think that the order should be the other way. I give life, and which comes first, life or death? The pasuk says, I kill and I bring to life. Mikan l'tchiyas ha'meisim in ha'toyro. The Gemara says this is one of the sources in the Chumash for tchiyas ha'meisim. That Hashem says, there is life after death. Omis v'achaye. The pasuk says, Vayake es hamayim v'yoymar. That Elisha Novi, he wanted to cross a certain river that was in his way, and he struck the water, Vayomer, and he said, Aye Elokei Eliyahu, where is the Hashem of Eliyahu Novi? I saw my rabbi do this. I know that the waters will split for a Talmud Chacham, for a Tzaddik. Afhu, so to Elisha Novi, Vayaka es hamayim, he struck the water, Vayechotsu, and they divided for him. Nocha ruach Eliyahu al Elisha, because the Holy Spirit of Eliyahu Navi rested on Elisha Navi. We mentioned earlier the pasuk that when Eliyahu Navi left, he was taken up to heaven. The other students said to Elisha Navi, Yelchu Navi yevakshu asadonecha. Let's send out a search party to go searching for Eliyahu Navi. They didn't get it. They didn't know that they were looking at Eliyahu Navi. That Elisha HaNavi was the embodiment of Eliyahu HaNavi after Eliyahu HaNavi left the world. So they said, let's send a search party. The Gemara says, Mikan shehischil haruach hakodesh lehistalik mehem. It's from this point, from here we see that the divine spirit started leaving those other students. Because they didn't see clearly, they didn't see in Elisha HaNavi that this is Eliyahu HaNavi for now. Eliyahu HaNavi left. Where is the new Eliyahu Navi? It's the student that takes over after him. Ki loy kach mechapsim es hatzadik. That's not how you go looking for the tzaddik after he passed away. Start digging up graves or go to Honolulu. Rak kemoy she'osu Elisha. But rather the search for the tzaddik after the tzaddik passes away is like Elisha Navi did. Sheloy rotzo liftor milifonov. Where he refused to part, to separate from Elisha Navi. Even when Eliyahu HaNavi tried to push him away a little bit, Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, Shev no po, you stay here, and I'm going to go. Elisha HaNavi said to his Rebbe, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha, I swear by Hashem and on your life, im e'ezveka, if I'll leave you, I'll never leave you. Wherever you go, I go. Like Rus told Nomi. Alkein be'emet, because that was Elisha Novi's relationship with Eliyahu Novi, Alkein be'emet zocho shenochol of ruach Eliyahu. That's why he was zoche, that when Eliyahu Novi left the world, the Holy Spirit of Eliyahu Novi rested on him. The canal, as we explained earlier. And what did Elisha Novi cry out when he saw Eliyahu Novi leaving? He screamed, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael uParoshov, my father, the chariot of the Jewish people and its riders. He said, Paro, he put his faith in horses and riders. You're our army. We don't need no army. We don't need no air force. You're the air force and the navy and the infantry. You're everything. Rechev Yisrael Daiko. Look at the wording that Elisha Novi used. He called his Rebbe Rechev Yisrael. You're the chariots. Bechinas Roichev Shomayim Bezrecho. As the Pasuk says in Shira Sazinu or Zoy Sabrocha, speaking about Hashem Kaviochel, who rides in the heavens. Kiho Iker Hu Bechinas Tikkun HaMerkava. Because the main tikkun that we have to make, that Klal Yisrael has to make, is the tikkun of the Merkava of Hashem, which Rav Nosson Zal discussed a few pages back. Sheyie Bechinas Oroin Noisei Es Noisov. That we should realize that just like when the Holy Ark was being brought back to the Mishkan during the time of Dovr HaMelech, and Dovr HaMelech made a mistake at the time of putting the Aron on a wagon of horses instead of people carrying it. And Uzzah was killed at the time because he thought it looked to him like the Aron was falling off the wagon, and he ran to grab it and he was killed on the spot. So the Gemara elaborates and tells us that the Aron didn't need anybody to carry it. When people held the Aron carried its carriers. Not the carriers carried the Aron. The Aron lifted them up. If you looked at their feet weren't touching the ground, to make it perfectly clear who's carrying who. Just like in the Merkav of Hashem, when we spoke earlier about the throne of Hashem, the different angels associated with it, that the throne carries the angels, not the angels carrying the throne. When we have the proper faith and the proper understanding of what's going on, then all the chariots of the Sitra Achra and their horses and everything, which is the essence of their tumah, all become subservient to the Merkav of Kedusha, to the Roichev, to the rider. We mentioned before about the rider, who's on top, the rider or the horse. That when Paro and his armies were drowning in the Red Sea, it says, Sus v'roichvoi Rama v'yom. The horse first, and then the rider. We quoted the Medrash, which said that Hashem threw them up in the air, and the guy, the rider, came down first, and the horse on top of him. To show that this is what Mitzrayim is all about. By them, it's the body that's on top of the neshama, not the neshama leading, it's the body leading. V'zeh b'chinas tzitzis. This is also the concept of tzitzis, tikkun hamalbushim, that tzitzis is the tikkun for all of the garments, all the clothing that a person wears, all of the medame, u'tfilin tikkun hamerkava. And tfilin represent the tikkun for the four parts of the throne of Hashem, the four corners of the tfilin, the four parshiyos. Bechinas roichev shomayim, referring kaviyochel to Hashem. Umurumozim beposik markavois paroi. And tefillin, the Rashi, or tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. Rav Nosson Zal says the two sets of tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, are hinted to in this posik markavois paroi vechelo yorav hayom, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 38 in Likutei Moran. Ki ein yoidim mehechon ascholo. Rav Nosson Zal discussed earlier that sometimes we don't know where to start, what to do first. We don't know do you daven first or you do learn first? Do you do this first or you do that first? Ki parsha is pash kadesh v'hoye kiviyacho lachnia zuam as mitzrayim b'chines pegam medame, because the two portions in the tefillin, kadesh li kol b'choyer and v'hoye kiviyacho, they serve to subdue and to weaken and to eliminate the tumah of Mitzrayim, which is referred to as medame. Shma represents emuna, faith in Hashem. Vohoyim shomoya, kabbalas hamitzvos. And vohoyim shomoya tishma mitzvosai represents the Jewish people accepting upon ourselves the mitzvos, hainu ha-Torah. Rav Nosson Zal here is giving us short bullets of things he elaborated on earlier. We'll hold it over here for now.